10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to hour number three. As we begin here, Radio Law Talk, I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny. Denise, we've 2 hours down, one to go. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
All right, hanging in there. That's a good. Good to know. Good to know you're hanging. Yeah, I saw this. You ever play Hangman when you were in high school or when you were in school?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the teacher put a little thing up there. So I saw somebody questioning the propriety of that, and it got to me thinking, you know, it was. I didn't really think too much about it when I was in grade school, but it is kind of morbid when you got a group of, you know, third graders that are trying to guess the letter and the fate of some fictitious person with a noose around their neck it hangs in the balance.
If you don't know
the word splawn.
did you ever play the hanging with friends?
No.
That was Hangman with, it was a word game.
Oh, okay.
And that I loved that game, but they stopped doing it.
Yeah, well,
a while back.
There's a lot of things we did in school that are like now. Yeah, I just don't think that would really. I don't think that would pass muster in school these days. You know, I remember when I started school. Very first school I went to, Bridge Street Elementary School, and it was the old school, and the principal was there, and. That was back when if you got in trouble, you'd still get spanked by the principal in the principal's office. He had the paddle. The paddle was on the wall. I saw it, you know, and that was the you could get spanked by the teacher.
Wow, that's incredible because they didn't do that when I was in grade school.
Now, I started grade school in 1973, so.
In Idaho, it was expected.
Was it really?
Oh, it was just standard. You know, corporal punishment was standard. That was just, yeah. It didn't call and ask permission. They would tell your parents afterward. So then I'd get it at school and then at home. That's great. You know,
I got suspended once and I thought I was going to be in so much trouble because, and this is kind of a little racy, but this boy was going to pants me. And I had been taking judo. And I flipped him over my back, and he got hurt, and I got suspended. And when I told my mom what happened, she told me that I was correct in what I had done.
Good for your mom.
I had a hard time figuring out punishment when I was young. I mean, I'll give you an example. So we were living in New Jersey when I was like 4 or 5 years old, and I remember this. Partly because of the manner in which I was punished, I had ridden my bike across the street. I just learned to ride. I was told, don't ride the bike across any streets or anything. Well, I went with a group of older kids, and they helped me walk my bike across, and my older brother, whom I love now, but ratted on me, and told my parents, and my dad, when he got home from work, he spanked me. I mean, spanked me good, right? That left an impression, both literal and figurative. So there's that. All right, now. Fast forward a couple of months later, this coincides with my very first kiss.
That's a mixed message.
I was sitting outside, and I remember playing with this kid on my block, this girl on my block, and somehow it came up to kissing, and she says, well, do you want to kiss? Okay, well, there are rules. What's the rule? We got to take off all our clothes.
Oh!
So here I am, 5 years old.
That was your rule or hers?
Well, it's mine. So here I am, 5 years old. By the way, the girl, her mother was a German immigrant. English was the second language.
Oh, stop it.
So here I am, I give this girl a kiss, and right as soon as I see her mother running out of the back. It's screaming at me in German.
Oh, man.
All I could do was put on my little cowboy boots, and I run buck naked through the backyard into a game of tag that my brother and sister were in with all the other neighborhood kids. These were good, large families in New Jersey. Here I am, buck naked. One is like, hey, Eric, isn't that your little brother, Todd? Yeah, why is he naked? 5 years old, Bridget's mom.
And the old brother said, well, it must have been kissing somebody, I guess, yeah.
So Bridget's mom went and grabbed me, dragged me home, and I remember my mother saying, well, you know, we'll discuss this when your father comes home.
Oh.
Now, I had, having been spanked earlier, I remember vividly, I didn't know what adultery was at the age of five, but I was convinced I had committed it.
Oh.
Okay. And I'm waiting for Dad to come home, and I can remember sitting there on my bed with my little airplane pajamas on, and Dad walks into the room, and this is where punishment was so confusing. I couldn't figure out why Mom and Dad were trying to suppress laughter, you know? And you know, it's like, and my father, well, you know, son, when a man and a woman love each other, you know,
oh, man.
They just, let's just, I'm not saying kissing girls is wrong. At your age, though, maybe a little premature. And when you do finally go to, try to keep your clothes on. and that was it. No spanking, nothing.
But some good advice.
And I was thoroughly confused. Now the problem is, looking back on it, my love life peaked at five. Okay?
That was
the apex.
What happened to this young lady, do you know?
I have no idea. I did recently, though, reconnect with another girl that was on the block, lived down the street on Facebook. It was like, let's look at where I live. And it's just kind of interesting to see how people have grown up and you know, like, wow, interesting.
Did she understand the kissing and clothing rule? At that point how did that work out?
I have no idea.
That one was told that she had to have one of those Stena things to your heart to play doctor.
Oh, yeah.
My biggest fear is that my name comes up in that person's therapy. How come you can't have a relationship? Well, it was a traumatic day. This boy kissed me, and then my mom came out and dragged him home, and I have never been able to have a stable relationship since. Dang that, Todd.
That's a good scene in a movie, Todd. We have to write that. That's good.
Yeah. It's funny now.
I like the nudity in the boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young Sheldon.
I've been there.
Yeah. Wait, and the boots are the new... never mind. I don't want...
they called me Magic Todd. Magic Mike was taken, so, you know.
They called me the Streak.
this is Radio Law Talk, not Radio Confesh Childhood Trauma Talk. So,
yeah.
Cal, can you get us... Maybe just give us I hesitate to use the term tease, but can you give us a little bit of what our case or no case is going to be?
Yeah, it's a guy who made some fast money in real estate and bought a lovely home, and there was something in there that he decided. He said, it was here when the house closed, and I'm going to keep it. And the family said, let's discuss that. And so that's what it's all about.
What did somebody leave their attractive 22-year-old single female? No, she was here when I...
No, it was just a pair of cowboy boots standing all alone outside in the garage.
Size five.
Is this a monument to it wasn't a home in Haddonfield, New Jersey, was it?
Well, might have
That's
been.
Eerily similar, Cal.
Well, that's what case or no case will center around.
Okay, so after this break, come back. Cal will give us the case or no case. We'll see if he's going for the trifecta of three no cases on the day. We'll see how it shakes out. Don't go away. You're listening to Radio Law Talk.
Check your boots. More Radio Law Talk is coming right up, right here on many great local radio stations and at RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be back in just a little bit. Stay tuned. Available now.
9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need, fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call eInsurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321.
Do you have an...
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170.
You see what happens when you try to be nice?
Hey, what's going on in here?
Nothing. Just taking a bathroom break.
That is anecdotal.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
All right, so we are back, and Cal. Cal.
Yes?
Go ahead and lay your case or no case on us.
All right, here we go.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Donald Budden was a little greedy and a little immature, and he had made a lot of quick, fast money in real estate in a hot market. He decided to go through the paper and look for other properties, and he found a great one. It belonged to a gentleman who had just died. The family wanted a quick sale because they, too, were a little greedy and in a hurry for the cash. Donnie went and took possession of the house within 10 days, short escrow. Then he went into the back garage, and back there was a beautiful 1962 Studebaker Lark, covered up and in need of refreshing, but a fine example of this beautiful old car. And it looked pretty new. Button said to himself, "Well, they didn't take the car, and I have taken possession of the house. I guess the car is mine." And he moved it immediately to his mechanic shop to begin the restoration. The oldest son called Button about a week later and said, "Hey, I'm ready to come up and pick up Dad's old Studebaker." And Button said, "Well, if it were yours, I'd give it to you. It was in the house when the house closed, and there's no mention of it in the documents. So guess what? It's mine." The old man's son said, "Yes, but do you have the title?" Button said, "No, but I have the car, and I have applied for a title under the state of Tennessee's abandoned auto law." The son said, "I don't think so. What you have, sir, is car theft." And the son went to his lawyer to see if he could force Budden to return the car to his family. Yes, the heir wanted to know if he had a case or no case. And Denise, I think this is on you now.
It is on me.
Yeah.
And this is Tennessee, right?
Tennessee, okay. Correct.
And Todd has a distinct advantage because he knows the laws in Tennessee.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no, I don't. Okay. I lived there. I don't live there anymore. I haven't lived there for 15 years, so...
Okay. All right. So this is the case of the used Studebaker.
Well, it wasn't just used. It had less than 1,000 miles on it. Daddy had bought it and thought he would keep it as a collector and kind of forgot about it.
So yeah. I guess the issue is, if you sell a house, do you buy the contents of that house as well? And that would be in the contract of sale. And so I think if it was not specifically mentioned in the contract for sale, then it wasn't sold with the house. And so I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that this is a case. The heir wins.
Todd, what do you think about this? I mean, this is kind of interesting. The house had closed. Money had changed hands. Everybody got paid.
Well, you know, when you convey property, you have to convey it free of all encumbrances. If they're claiming, that car is ours, then they're not conveying all property now, are they? Because apparently they were still using the garage where the car was. And I would think that the garage would be something that was easily checked. I mean, look, if they're having to pull everything else out of the house, where is the notification that the car was not included in the sale? That's on one side of it, right? On the other side is this idea that if you come across something that you know does not belong to you and know that it belongs to something else, and I think it's very easy to look at a car and say there's got to be title somewhere, and you might know who it belongs to, I think that it could be theft under the doctrine of conversion, where you have now converted it to yours, even though you do not... I don't know who this belongs to, but I know who it doesn't belong to, me, right? And so because of that, I'm going to agree with Denise. I think they're able to get their car back because whatever may or may not have been in the contract... Look, if the remedy to the new homeowner would be to sue for some sort of breach in terms of providing the property, conveying the property free of all encumbrances, including items that are still in the house. The remedy for that breach is not that they get to keep the car. So especially give that, that would be too disparate. So I say case, heirs get the car back.
And you know what? He only did that because of strategy. Because I happen to just divulge to him, if I win this one, I'm going to be right within 1 point of him. Oh. So he is just trying to strategize, and it's not his true belief.
But if I lost and Denise got all the points, I would still be in the lead. So I think I am right because it's sound legal strategy.
Well, I think I'm not going to tell you because we have we have a little bit more than a minute is all.
Are there any facts that you have omitted?
Well, no.
One thing I forgot to tell
you. No, but I want to ask you this. If they did find the cowboy boots, would they belong with the house or would they belong to the kid who left them there? I know this is a separately titled thing, but you can understand the question here.
I think returning the cowboy boots to the owner of the cowboy boots might subject you to legal difficulty under intentional infliction of emotional distress.
I think the question that I have is, in real estate, does finders, keepers, losers, weepers apply?
No.
Right? That's kind of the question here, I think, is what the thing raises. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that as we come back right here on Radio Law Talk with Todd Kunin and Denise Dirks. They'll be back with the answer to case or no case right after this.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined.
All right, guys, we need to have you read some lines for our disclaimer promo. But first, can anybody tell me what a disclaimer is? Right then. Well, Denise, you go ahead.
Non uti concilius me oriere por questus purpurium juris consult.
Latin, that's a nice touch. Thank you, Denise. Next time we'll try it in English if that's okay. Fred, how about you?
Cal, I don't want to read all this. Can't we just tell the people that we're discussing general legal issues and they should hire their own attorney instead of relying on what we have to say here?
Well, we could, I guess.
Let's have Todd do it.
Me? Read disclaimers? Why, I couldn't. The information you hear on Radio Law Talk is general.
The preceding promo was for entertainment purposes only. And if you want true legal advice, contact your own lawyer. Just a tip from your friends at Radio Law Talk.
Be sure to read our disclaimers on RadioLawTalk.com.
I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what to do about it.
I tried counting calories, I took pills.
Eating and eating and then more eating.
I really wanted to stop, but nothing could make me stop.
At one point, it was so bad that I just felt like giving up.
I felt so alone.
Like nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. People who want to stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
Overeaters Anonymous, help me get my life back.
Now I eat in a way that's healthy and good for me.
I never realized what I was missing out on.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at OA.org.
Okay, man. This is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
First, they said cigarettes were safe. We know how that turned out. Now, they say they didn't market e-cigarettes to teens. Fact, more than 1 in 4 high school students are vaping, and 80% say their first e-cigarette was flavored. Vaping is harmful to developing brains. The reason we think vaping is safe? Marketing. Same lies, different day. Tell Big Vape to quit lying.
You know what? Even if you killed somebody, I wouldn't turn you in.
I got a guy. I think you may have run into him.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
All right, we are back, Cal.
Yeah.
Cal, you stretched the answer to the break so that you could go ahead and give us this answer about who gets to keep the Studebaker and the recently sold house.
Well,
the people that sold it or the guy that bought it. And you know, Denise and I have just been waiting with bated breath for the answer.
Well,
and I want to know,
yeah,
while I keep interrupting you.
No.
As you say this.
Well.
Go ahead.
I like that one to have. Okay. So the son of the car's owner said, you know, I've had enough of this. He started by calling the police department and reporting the car stolen. Police investigated and called the DA, and the DA agreed. So Mr. Budden had a visit from the DA and the cops to just had a little sit down, you might say. And Budden said, oh, all right, I'll give you back the car.
Oh, dang, no case.
Yeah, so it ended up being no case was filed. Mr. Budden's attempt to sneak a fast one past the family cost him a $4,000, just a goodwill, you know, just a little goodwill. And the DA said, if you didn't do that, I was going to take this to court and it'll cost you some probation and some jail time. And he said, well, it's a nice duty, but it ain't worth that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is... case or no case or no case?
Yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I like that.
Okay.
All right. Because, and this is one of the things that I liked when I was a DA in Northeast Tennessee, Sullivan County, the 2nd Judicial District. I was there for a year from 2006 to 2007. Loved it out there because sometimes it was just. Look, let's just kind of, it's the parental equivalent of just slapping one of your kids upside the head, say, straighten up, and you know, you don't hurt them, but they kind of just, come on, do the right thing, stop being a stick in the mud, right? And you're able to do it. So I like it from that standpoint. Not everything requires a full-blown complaint, judicial, criminal intervention to get people just to stop being kind of a knucklehead and do the right thing.
It tells me that Mr. Budden knew he was in the wrong, and he thought, if I can just play this out a little bit, and you know, that is really selfish and greedy and childish, and I'm glad he lost.
But here, the
not lost, but I'm glad he gave the car back.
The flip side to that, though,
yeah,
is in the state of California, the district attorney could arguably get in trouble for doing something like that.
Why?
Because whether or not the car is the heir's or the homeowner's is essentially a civil suit over what was included in the terms of the contract, right? So you got this civil suit here. But the DA, in encouraging a settlement of a civil suit, is threatening potential criminal prosecution to influence the settlement of a civil suit. That, under the bar rules in the state of California, absolute no-no. You can't. That's an ethical violation.
Well, except there was no civil suit filed, and the victim made the complaint to the police, who investigate for the DA, and then the DA took it up.
But again, you can still get in trouble. Here's a scenario, and I think this comes right out of the ethical opinions on the state bar. DA's prosecuting a case, right? DA's prosecuting a case in which the victim could face some liability to the person charged with a crime, but the DA, in negotiating, says, tell you what, we will agree to this resolution, maybe even a dismissal of the criminal case, in an exchange for an agreement not to sue the victim civilly for whatever they have. No civil suit had ever been filed. Ethically, that opinion came out and said, yeah, the DA was in the wrong for doing that because you're using the criminal process to effect or settle otherwise civil complaints or future civil complaints that haven't been filed yet. So there is some...
What should he have done were he in California? What should he have done?
In California?
The DA, yeah.
In California, the DA should have said, or could have, would probably have said, charge him with a crime. Charge him with a crime. Any defense attorney worth their salt is going to approach... Now, here's the interesting thing. A defense attorney can approach the DA and say, hey, if he gives the car back, will you drop the charges? To which the DA can say, yeah, I'll agree to that. Mm-hmm. The DA just can't be the one that makes the suggestion.
I see.
And so in that case, all right, we'll go ahead and we'll file the charge. And if they come back with that, then the DA can go ahead and dismiss. But they can't make the suggestion. It's a tricky area of the law that younger DAs do run afoul of sometimes, thinking they're holding one out and doing something good for the victim of a case and all that. But when you read the ethical rules, they can get in hot water for it.
Well, in this case, all's well that ended well. And the Studebaker, by the way, didn't have much work done on it. And it's gone its way to its old new home.
Good.
And Studebaker Larks are kind of cool.
What?
Studebaker Larks are kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
You know, all right. Good. Well, that has it's all well and good, but you know, what does that have to do with what's going on in the Rust case? How's that for Alex? I'll take awkward segues for $3,000
on a lark. I'll take that.
Okay. So when I say the Rust case, I'm talking about the case surrounding the death of the cinematographer on the set of the film Rust, starring and I think being produced by Alec Baldwin. It happened in Santa Fe, New Mexico a couple of years ago. And of all of the people that could have potentially been charged, three people became the target. It was the armorer, Hannah Gutierrez. She was the one that was responsible for safety on set with regard to firearms. The assistant director, last name was Hall. He was the one who allegedly physically gave the gun to Alec Baldwin. And Alec Baldwin was charged because he was the one holding the gun when it discharged, striking Hannah Gutierrez, resulting in her death. Hall, the middle of those two, reached a plea agreement. And so his case never went to trial. He's already pled. And
he's
given
already
how,
done time.
Yeah, given how long this has taken, his probation might already be done. And the trial, Let's see. The trial has commenced against the armorer. Alec Baldwin's trial is set to go at some point later after this one, but the trial against Hannah Gutierrez is underway. What do we know about this trial, Denise?
Well, she's being charged with involuntary manslaughter.
Yes.
Which is, in essence, criminal negligence.
Yep.
She was the armorer. She was the one that was charged with safety on the set. And there were many things that happened on that set prior to this killing that were not... We're showing that there was not a lot of safety precautions taken. And so there's a difference between real bullets and not real bullets, right? And the not real bullets have a little BB inside of them. And if you shake them, you can hear that BB. That's how you tell that it is not a bullet. So when you're putting those in to a gun, then you're going to shake it. You're going to put it in, and you're going to make sure each one that you put into the revolver is going to be a fake bullet. And she was in charge with this. The other thing that happened a lot on set, which she would leave the armor, is that how you call it?
The guns.
The guns.
Yeah.
She would leave them without her being in their presence,
unattended, left just out. Anybody has access to it.
Right, yep. And so we just never know now exactly how this happened. Was it an accident by her? Was it an accident or was it intentional by someone else? I mean, we just don't know. And I don't think that they know that. That's why they're going with involuntary manslaughter instead of an intentional type killing.
Yeah, witness Marissa Popel, crime scene technician, testified this last week that she found 255 dummy rounds. The reason the BBs are there is they've removed the dummy rounds are one where they've actually removed the gunpowder that would cause a bullet to fire, and they replace it with a little BB in that same spot. And the reason you need a dummy round, it's sometimes cinematographically... Sometimes the shot requires, and you've seen this sometimes, where the shot is right down the barrel of the gun, and in slow motion you see the revolver go, and you can see bullets in the revolver go, and a lot of that's done with CGI, but sometimes those are done with using a gun. You don't want to have real bullets in there when that happens to get that shot. 255 dummy rounds found on the set. 50 of those were found lying around. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit about... that evidence and how it might impact. And then we've got some more stuff to talk about. Gun laws out of state of California, so don't go away.
Radio Law Talk can be heard on RadioLawTalk.com from 9 to noon Pacific time every Saturday. That's RadioLawTalk.com.
How would you like to go on a 5-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for 3 fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a 3-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
Attention! If you owe back taxes to the IRS, the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
One-Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back.
Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
Every 40 seconds, a kid is reported missing.
I was going to say that.
Find the Children provides educational material that teaches your kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs are very successful in bringing kids back home to their family. You can help protect our kids and bring the missing kids home safe by donating your unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van, running or not. We guarantee you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast free pickup, usually within 24 hours. Over 2,000 kids are reported missing every day. Call now to donate your vehicle. Donate now to bring these kids home safe.
Call 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877. 800-771-4877.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
This is Frederick Penny, Todd Kunin from Radio Law Talk. Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
There's one guy in this town that I trust more than anybody else.
Your money's no good here.
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny.
All right, so we're back talking about the trial of Hannah Gutierrez. She was the armorer on the set of the movie Rust, and she was responsible for the manner in which all firearms, real or fake, prop, all the ammunition, real or fake, prop ammunition, live ammunition. And I say that there should have been zero live ammunition on set, none. But she was the one responsible for safety in that regard. And the prosecution this last week has painted this picture of this disorganized, chaotic set with the dummy rounds lying all around, mixed with live rounds that shouldn't have even been on set. And that there might have been drug use, cocaine use going on the night before, which impairs cognitive ability or makes people tired the next day. So all of this was attendant, and that it was this collective failure on the part of Gutierrez, who was responsible for safety, that led to the death of the cinematographer, Hutchins. Now, what does all this mean for Alec Baldwin's case that has yet to be tried? His trial, his lawyers have demanded a speedy trial, and so ostensibly they are looking to go after him after this case. And they're not being tried together. Baldwin is not being tried jointly with Gutierrez. They're going to be doing separate trials. And so what is this evidence? What does this case have to do for Baldwin's case? You know, what do you think, Denise?
Well, I think that Baldwin's strategy on this, to have his trial later than this one and not be joined with this one, is a smart one. If the armorer is found guilty of involuntarily manslaughter, then I think that he can argue, well, look, we already have our person who is guilty of this. I'm innocent. If it was just determined that she's guilty, but because the set was in chaos and, you know, the people handling the guns weren't properly trained, or they didn't follow specific safety protocol when they're passing a gun to another person on set, then he's not going to be scot-free, if you get what I'm saying. So I think that it was good strategy, and I think that he's going to have a better argument that it wasn't him if she is found guilty. Now, the other thing that was really, I thought was kind of an interesting thing, was that there was also allegations that some of the crew members were shooting real guns, not during the filming of it, but after the filming when they were in their relaxation time, right? And how did those real bullets get introduced to the set? That is such a key fact that the prosecutors can't know. They're not going to be able to discover that. They're not going to be able to do it because whoever introduced them to the set is not going to admit to that, right?
That's true.
So hopefully the jury doesn't, well, I don't care about the outcome necessarily on this case, but I hope that it doesn't make the jury stuck in coming to a decision just because they can't find out who actually, introduced the live rounds to the set.
So here's a couple of things that I see with this. First, I'm starting to see a little bit of strategy here from a prosecution standpoint of why it was necessary to indict Alec Baldwin for purposes of achieving a conviction against Gutierrez. And the reason why I say that is this. You don't want the jury's going to know. You'd have to be ignorant of media. And this is a big case in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The jury's going to know and knew before this case started that charges were dropped and then reintroduced against Alec Baldwin. They just knew. The jury, considering the evidence, is going to know that. And here's why it's important that they know that Alec Baldwin is charged. Because you don't want the jury sitting there going, let me get this straight. You've already reached a plea with Hall, male. You've gotten rid of Baldwin, the big money, the guy that actually pulled the trigger. You're going after this poor female armorer and the sympathy factor for a lone defendant having to answer for everything. Right now, the jury knows that Baldwin is still facing charges. So it eliminates that, I'm going to feel sorry for this one person who's being asked to pay for everything. And if they do find Gutierrez guilty, well, now if you dismiss your subsequent case against Baldwin after the trial because they've painted this scene of how chaotic it was and then believe, look, if that's the evidence, we know that's going to come in, that just opens the door for reasonable doubt. It wasn't Baldwin's fault. The person that was supposed to have all the safety protocols in place was high as a kite, they're going to argue, based on the evidence, was allowed. It was a chaotic scene, and we don't believe we can achieve a conviction against Alec Baldwin beyond a reasonable doubt because he was entitled to rely on the safety of what other people had done. If they dismiss it after the Gutierrez trial, assuming Gutierrez is convicted, well, the jury, that's not going to affect the jury's determination in Gutierrez's case because they would have already rendered it, thinking that Baldwin is going to be facing charges down the line. It gives the prosecution flexibility about whether or not to continue their case against Baldwin while removing that sympathy factor that you know jurors are going to have. This poor girl is being strung out to dry for the entire thing. They let the rich guy off, right? So it removes that. But if they are successful in building this case against Gutierrez, it does, first off, it gives the Baldwin prosecution a blueprint of where they're going, right? They know the evidence that's going to be brought in, and now Baldwin is looking at it going, you really think I'm responsible for this solely, like beyond a reasonable doubt? The person I was entitled to rely upon has now been convicted because they didn't do their job.
Yeah. I think the prosecution, they against Baldwin, they're going to have to show that it is industry protocol to check the gun and make sure that they are all fake bullets before utilizing that in any scene, and that would put a burden on Baldwin to show that he had somehow done that.
Yes.
Because that's the question here. What is the industry standard in New Mexico? That's really going to come down.
I can tell you the industry standard for firearms nationwide is this, and you learn this in every gun safety class. If I have a handgun, let's say I've got a handgun, and I'm going to give this handgun to you, Denise. I look at it before I give to you a check to see what's in the chamber and what's in the, and then I give it to you. And even though you just watched me do it, protocol is you do the exact same thing, that you always do that. That did not happen in this case. But it comes down to what was he trained and how was he trained and what did he know? So that's where we are. Cal, I think we may be coming up to our quick takes, aren't we?
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes left, and that means it's time for Todd and Denise to tell you the things they hope you remember all week about Radio Law Talk with their quick takes. Todd, what's yours?
All right. Well, this one goes back to the wrongful conviction case. The guy wrongfully. First story we did back in first hour where he got $10 million. A lot of people ask me if I support the death penalty in murder cases. In theory, yes. The problem I have is how it's implemented, because on cases like this, when people have the death penalty, if it's later found out the evidence was suppressed, you can't get it back if you've already imposed that punishment. That's the problem I have with it. That's my quick take.
Hard to take it back. Denise, what is your quick take for today?
Well, you know, we're Radio Law Talk, so you've heard a lot of legal language today. What does it all mean? Tit for tat? Braided breath? Stick in the mud? What does it all mean?
Those are all legal terms found in the back of the dictionary, any legal dictionary, yes. And if you find definitions to any of those, feel free to send those definitions in to info@radiolawtalk.com. That'll do it for this week. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Thank you again, folks, and we'll see you then.
Radio Law Talk.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.